Good morning from the Bone Broadcast Center. This is Air Talk. I'm John Raby, sitting in for the vacationing Larry Mantle. And in just a few minutes, we'll talk with the man himself to find out where he is. In our second hour, we'll touch on the big Supreme Court cases on the way and get you an update on coronavirus. But first, a new op-ed in the LA Times asks whether California's right to die law should be expanded to include people with illnesses like Alzheimer's. It's called My Friend Has Dementia and Wants to End Her Life. California's assisted suicide law excludes her. The law currently allows physicians to give lethal drugs to mentally competent adults when they're faced with a terminal illness and are only expected to live six more months. It's a very hotly divided issue as it stands now, but should it be expanded to include people with memory deteriorating illnesses? We want to hear from you. If you're aging yourself, if you're caring for loved ones with dementia, call us now at 866-893-5722. That's 866-893-5722. And let us know what you think about expanding the law. We will include you in the conversation. My guests are Thaddeus Pope, a bioethicist and director of the Health Law Institute at Hamline University School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Josh Bloom, a director of chemical and pharmaceutical sciences at the American Council on Science and Health, a consumer advocacy group and nonprofit that promotes evidence-based science and medicine. And my first question is for you, Dr. Bloom. The LA Times article was about an 87-year-old who has dementia, who fears what's coming, and wanted to be able to end her life. Make the case for us for expanding this law.
Well, it's things become decidedly more complex when you're talking about Alzheimer's. I mean, and it's an incendiary enough talking about physician-assisted suicide. Right. That's a real hot-button issue. But when you come to Alzheimer's, it complicates matters exponentially. So the same arguments that may impact the discussion of assisted suicide for people who are mentally competent don't apply to Alzheimer's. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be having this discussion, because probably every one of us has seen a family impacted by Alzheimer's, or they've seen a patient. And I don't especially want to go out like that, and I think there are probably many others that don't either. But the devil is in the details here, and I suspect we'll talk about that shortly.
Right. Well, why is it so complicated?
Well, right to die or physician suicide laws depend on a couple. On two things, really. It's 6 months or less to live and mental competency. And you could make a case why that's a very appropriate policy. I believe in it. I think people should have a right to choose to die and choose not to suffer. We don't allow our pets to suffer. I don't know why we should allow our grandmothers to suffer. So the trouble is, though, Alzheimer's renders the right to die laws invalid because of the two main provisions, and that is the 6 months or less to live and the mental competency. Alzheimer's patients typically live 4 to 8 years. And near the end or the middle of that time, there's no mental competency. Right. So the question is, what do you do with somebody who has early Alzheimer's, does not want to go through that or put his or her family through it, but is by definition going to lose any mental capability in the course of the disease? And there are no simple answers here. They're just bad choices and worse choices.
Yeah. Thaddeus Pope, I'd love for you to come in at this point too. We're already getting calls in because, you know, everybody has a stake in this. 866-893-5722 to join the conversation. 866-893-5722. So, Mr. Pope, you're at Hamlin, and make the case against expanding this law to include dementia.
So first, let me note that Dr. Bloom is right that to allow medical aid in dying for people with dementia, you would have to remove two of the existing eligibility criteria. He mentioned the terminal illness requirement,
right,
and the capacity requirement. You'd actually have to remove a third one, which is the self-ingestion requirement, right? So the law requires that the physician writes the prescription, but the patient has to, with capacity, ingest it by herself. And when you get to late-stage dementia, you're not going to be able to do that, which means it would no longer be medical aid in dying or assisted suicide. It would be active euthanasia. And we can cross that line. The countries in Europe have done that, but that's a very big line to cross. So it doesn't seem like this law would be, the End of Life Options Act would be amended anytime soon. But I agree that it's worth discussing it. But I guess I mostly want to raise the flag of caution to say that this would be a very, very different type of option than it currently is.
Tell us, how do they handle it in other countries?
So most other countries do not allow advance requests for medical aid in dying. Canada is considering this right now, mm-hmm. but really the only place where that's in operation is the Netherlands. So you can, in our dementia cases, right, you can write an advance directive today that says, when I get to stage 6 or stage 7 Alzheimer's and I don't recognize my family and I can't go to the bathroom, and you could specify the conditions that would make your life intolerable for you. When I get to that point, that's when I want the doctor to come and, administer a lethal substance. So it happens. Although it's worth noting, they are still grappling with problems. So, for example, there's a case just a few months ago where the patient had an advance directive. The family called the doctor. The doctor showed up. And consistent with the patient's advance directive, was prepared to administer the lethal substance, but the patient resisted.
Mm.
Okay? And so it raised this question about, do we honor the advance directive that she wrote, as Dr. Bloom noted, probably more than 5 years ago, or do we honor what the patient appears to be saying right now?
Right, and a person with dementia can have lucid moments, and maybe they've changed their mind, or it could be the refusal was and the resistance was a product of the dementia.
Well, so let me just jump in, because a person with dementia can absolutely have lucid moments,
right.
But I think we have to be clear about what stage of dementia we're talking about. I don't think that statement is true if we're talking about late stage dementia. It's not clear that somebody in stage 7, has rational thoughts and can have capacity to actually make a decision and rationally think through what, does that decision fulfill a goal of mine?
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, hold on just a second. We're getting a lot of very good calls on this, and I'd like to bring Elaine into the conversation from West LA. Hi, Elaine. Tell us what's on your mind about this and your personal experience.
Thank you. I'm highly supportive of this measure or proposition. My stepfather died at 96, bedridden in the Veterans Building. So my mother and I went through that hell for 5 years. Now she is suffering from cognitive decline. We have an advance directive. I personally have belonged to the Hemlock Society since its inception, and now I belong to Compassion and Choices, so I'm highly supportive of this. My mother, I adore. She adores me. She's my last relative, so I'm deeply caring. Mm-hmm. And she has been bedridden now for a year in a wonderful Catholic nursing home that is doing the best they can for her. But every day I visit, and I've been visiting now every day for a year, she begs me to help her commit suicide, which of course I cannot. And it's just hell. It's just hell.
Yeah, and you can't, because you couldn't bring yourself personally to do it.
No, it's against the law. And
she's 98, right?
She's 98. Yeah.
And does she talk about the law at all?
No, I don't think she's got that kind of awareness. Although, as your discussion mentioned, she is lucid at moments. It's just hell.
Yeah, Thaddeus, what are the options here?
So Elaine did mention the Hemlock Society, and she mentioned Compassionate Choices. And so it is worth noting for listeners that both of those organizations have tools for avoiding late-stage dementia that are legal under current California law. And the key one, really, for dementia is an advanced directive to stop hand feeding. So the idea is that by the time you get to late-stage dementia, you're probably going to be in a facility because your needs will outstrip what your family can do for you, and you will be unable to feed yourself. So somebody will be feeding you. So what you can do today before you lose capacity is to complete an advance directive telling those nursing aides in the future, don't spoon feed me. And you will die from dehydration. And the evidence in the peer-reviewed medical literature does show that that's a peaceful and comfortable death if it's managed. So there is a way under current California law to avoid living in late-stage dementia.
Let's go up to Lompoc and Zandy. Hi, Zandy. Welcome to Air Talk.
Hi. So unfortunately, I have firsthand experience going through the process for the right to die medication. My young husband requested it and was granted it last year. Mm. My concern regarding dementia and Alzheimer's patients is partially the psychological evaluations, obviously. I believe there was more than one when my husband had to do it. I think he had to do one with a psychologist and then a second follow-up later. And although obviously patients do have periods of lucidity, catching those moments of lucidity might be more difficult. The reason I'm commenting on this is because I come from a middle-class, well-informed, willing-to-advocate-for-themselves household, and it still took us almost 5 months to get the process completed. And
wow.
Partially because we had a difficult time finding doctors who would sign off on it. And this is a man who had late stage terminal cancer. He was going to die no matter what anybody did. So I'm also having reservations wondering, well, even if it's approved, is it going to be too difficult for the patient and the family to seek out and find the doctors who are willing to do it? We had to drive 3 hours from our home to find anybody. And that person had to be, they were in the same medical system, but they weren't my husband's doctors. So they had to reacquaint themselves with everything involving his case. And I'm concerned that in cases with dementia patients, you're going to lose that window because the process is still very slow and seems to vary from county to county, apparently.
Josh Bloom, shouldn't there be a list of doctors?
Good luck. It's hard enough to find a doctor that will treat a pain patient now, because of the restrictions on opioids, which are patently ridiculous, by the way. Doctors have lost an enormous amount of power to the DEA in the last 5 years or so. And this is writing a legal, medically warranted prescription. Taking this to the next step, As Thaddeus mentioned, it's a very big line to cross. But I should point out that it's also a very big line not to cross, because people are living to 100 and 105. And people of my generation and younger are developing Alzheimer's or early onset. This is going to overwhelm our health system to basically keep bodies alive where there's no mind. So I, as I said before, there's definitely there's no easy answer. And there is probably going to be a downside to even trying to formulate a plan. But I think there might be a bigger downside by doing nothing.
You're listening to Air Talk. I'm John Raby, sitting in for Larry Mandel. We're talking about the idea of adding dementia to the right to die legislation here in California. Just an idea, just wading through it. And as you can hear, it's extremely complicated. We want to hear from you. We're hearing wonderful, we're hearing very touching stories this morning, very personally involved stories this morning from our listeners. Please join the conversation. 866-893-5722. 866-893-5722. And we'll be back in just a moment on Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC.